So I went back to the red carpet, and they have this truss system that you know they have for Ninja Warrior.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like the metal thing. I'm like, oh, game on. So I handed my camera to one of the security men. I was like, can you record me really quick? He's like, you mean a picture? I'm like, no. You're going to want to record this. So then I start in my heels. I start climbing up the truss, and then I just campus across the truss over the red carpet. Everyone's like, oh, my God, what is happening? And I turn around. The security guard's like, oh, my God.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Biotropic Labs. We are innovators and leaders in competitive edge sports supplements. Enjoy this special podcast episode and help us spread the word. Have fun.
What's your normal day kind of like?
No idea. I still have like a normal like big girl job. So I do clinical research at UCLA. I choose to work part-time, so 50%. So I kind of start really early and then either like end around noon or like 1 or 2. Just so I could spend the rest of the day training and kind of just exploring other things too. So, which kind of benefited me this past year because that means after work, you know, I would, as soon as I come home here, I always say I always get cabin fever in my own home. So I always had to like dip out and do something, which is good that I live in LA because I usually, my normal cycle is like, I work from like 9 to like 1 or 2. And then I get stuff and I go to the beach here in Santa Monica.
Nice.
So there's this thing. You know, do you know the original Muscle Beach?
Oh, yeah. That's not even fair. I wish I was out there just for that reason.
Oh, it's so good. It's like an adult playground. And, you know, you get to see just the ocean, the breeze, the sunlight. And it's the thing I like about it is I always start my workout there is because you're not really enclosed by, like, walls or in a gym. So nothing's really socially awkward. If you just want to escape from, like, an awkward person, you just be like, I'm just going to go over here. But my kind of specialty is this like 25-foot rope that they have. There's like two of them. So in case I'm hogging one, you know, another person can go on the other one. So I kind of do that. And interesting enough, for the beach, this past year has been like really exciting. And I kind of found myself having trouble to sleep at night because there was just kind of so many thoughts racing in my head, like projects from work or just like the new upcoming event for Ninja or training and stuff like that. So this year I kind of had to really focus on getting like calming my brain down, like sometimes, not all the time, but like I need to kind of like a moment to kind of recollect my thoughts and then have a quiet moment to myself. And I went to the beach to do that and there's this little patch of grass, but I would sit down and then I still find myself getting really distracted because of external forces. There's usually like a dog like trying to lick me or like someone's ball that's hitting me in my face.
Oh geez, yeah.
There's a lot of acro people there, so it's like acro people falling on my body. So I was like, this is not going to work.
Yeah, well, I know exactly what you're talking about. That little strip of grass to the right of Muscle Beach, or kind of behind it, but to the right, if you're looking at the beach, right?
Yeah, that little collection.
Yeah.
A lot of people for yoga and work out there.
It gets busy.
It's busy. So I found, as a climber, I was like, let me just go up. So I would climb up the rope, and I actually got pretty scared, like climbing all to the top. But I knew I shouldn't be because, you know, I've climbed, like, Yosemite and a lot of big mountains. So I just kind of did it multiple times. And I eventually, like, mantled on top of the bar that's attached to the rope. Mm-hmm. And I just, like, sat there. And I was like, cool. This is actually pretty dope. That even though you're still in the noisy beach that is Santa Monica, when you kind of get to that certain level where you're, like, 25 feet up high, all that noise kind of meshes into, like, a white noise, which is what I really needed. Because I like the busyness that is the city, but at the same time I had like my own little space and bubble to kind of like concentrate and like calm my focus down if I need to.
Huh.
So that's really fun.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I never thought of that, climbing up, right?
Yeah.
But you gotta be careful.
I've gotten called on by the cops multiple times.
What?
Yeah, for sure. I started doing it in January, and then cops would come with, like, the sirens and everything, and they're like, please get down from the pole, and I'm like, huh? And then they were saying they would get multiple calls from people walking along the beach, and usually there's, like, this big hotel that's right in front of the whole Muscle Beach, and they're saying, we're getting calls from people reporting a suicide.
What?
And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Oh, my gosh.
They're saying there's this crazy girl trying to commit suicide. I'm like, no, bro. I'm just trying to get my calm.
Why do they even have the Muscle Beach in the first place? If they're going to have people being concerned all the time. Oh my gosh.
So that's the funny thing is after like the 15th call, I word kind of spread around and they stopped like stopping me. So they're like, when they have the calls now, they're just like, oh no, it's okay, she's got it, you know.
She's got it. Well, that I hope they know who you are, because Natalie Duran, YouTube sensation, ninja warrior, climbers, musical prodigy, maybe. She won't tell me for real, but you know, I've listened to her videos. If you guys want to check out her videos, go on YouTube, you'll see. Anything else I missed, by the way? I know what I say, YouTuber, climber, ninja, singer, /
professional party crasher. Can't forget that. That's like my newfound hobby or job this year.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So, beginning, what was it? The Golden Globes, January 10th. I have like a thing in front of my computer that's like a little, like a brag board of the crap that I've done this year. So let's just sum it up. It started in January. I snuck into the Golden Globes successfully.
How do you do that? I gotta hear this.
That's a big one.
Is this a story that we can share right now? Or?
Oh yeah, that one's like my favorite. It kind of boosted my addiction and my saying in life, in that you could do anything you want as long as you have confidence.
Yeah.
So that was the premise of like me getting in. So it kind of started off with me where I was at this dinner party, and then I snuck into these little like Hollywood parties in December during the holidays, and my friends all knew about it. And I was at dinner one time for a birthday, and they're like, Natalie, you know the Golden Globes are tonight. You should just sneak in. I'm like, And then I started Googling like all the details, and I found out it's actually down the street from where I live, the Beverly Hilton.
Nice.
So I was like, guys, I gotta go. I feel like something good is gonna happen tonight. So I went home, got like dressed to the nine, did my face and the hair is a whole female thing, and then I like wore like this big fat like fake ring. So I have like characters that I have.
That's awesome.
In case security tries to like yell at me. So I Uber down there, and they close the street off unless you have an Escalade that escorts you in. And I was just like in a rinky dink Uber.
Yeah.
You're like, ma'am, you can't go any further. I'm like, but I'm a guest. And they're like, well, you have to get dropped off here. I'm like, okay. So it was at the 76 gas station, and I'm like, dang, what am I gonna do now? So I start walking, and there's this like external fence, and there was a guard there, and I ran up, I was like, sir, my husband's in there, but he's not answering his phone. I needed to go home to like take medicine and like come back. And I was like flashing my ring. I was like, oh no, someone help me. He's like, ma'am, like, don't worry about it. Like, let me help you. So he was like, we have a guest at gate B that needs an escort. I'm like, oh, thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
No
and then
way.
This big limo came up at the gate and then picked me up.
Oh.
I'm like, thank you so much. And he drove me directly to the red carpet. I was like, this is happening.
So I'm missing out. I'm missing out. I should be a pretty woman instead of a man, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, you
know, I don't think they would have let me in.
We have ups and downs. You know, the glass ceiling's still there, but, you know, I'm trying to work my way around that.
Hey, I don't think you have any ceilings. You are one of a kind, Natalie. I love it. I can't even believe that. How do you even... I wouldn't even come up with that idea in the first place, because I would think I would be unsuccessful. So that just is a testament to how confident you are in yourself.
Confidence. You got to have confidence, Joe.
Unbelievable.
That was the thing. And also my goal of that night was, how do I get kicked out of something I'm trying to get in? So at the end of the evening, after I like went around, ate all the food, drink all the champagne, and I like stole like an orchid arrangement. It was awesome. I was like, how else do I get kicked out? I'm like stealing their stuff. No one's like kicking me out. So I went back to their carpet, and they have this trust system that you know they have for Ninja Warrior.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like the metal thing. I'm like, oh, game on.
That's a good way
so
to do it.
I handed my camera to one of the security men. I was like, can you record me really quick? He's like, you mean a picture? I'm like, no. You're going to want to record this. So then I start in my heels, I start climbing up the truss, and then I just campus across the truss over the red carpet. Everyone's like, oh my God, what is happening? And I turn around, the security guard's like, oh my God.
So you probably got him fired.
Holding the phone, and no one kicked me out.
It was a great. Well, you know what? The red carpet, all these reality shows and reality TV awards, actually, you just went to that, didn't you?
Right, yeah.
How was
I went
that?
It was great with Brandon and Casey and Jesse and everyone. Just as you expect a reality TV show awards, it's just kind of filled with the most ridiculous people that you ever you know, seen in your life.
Who are like the A-list celebrities? Anybody there? Any big stars?
I mean, it's kind of like the
B-list. Well, you know what? I went last year, and it was interesting. We had Dance Moms there. We had...
right, she was there, good.
I can't believe I'm forgetting the host's name from last year, but he's the guy from...
Mean Girls, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot his name,
I really
too.
Like him. He's really funny. Really funny guy. Man, I'm blanking on it. But anyway, I would consider Dance Moms, that show, good. Being, you know, B-list, A-list celebrities, pretty much, especially
like,
now,
the
you see these girls.
Woman.
Yeah.
But it's great.
That's awesome.
It was funny. It's funny because we felt like the most normal people as ninjas. As usual, as you know, on set, we're just getting yelled at all the time, but because we're just not doing the things that we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And Grant McCartney was there, too. So he's, you know, the island ninja and loves to dance.
Yeah. I think I saw a picture. Didn't I see a picture?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You tell me about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So the Dance Moms are there with all those, you know, professional little kids that are just killing it. So, you know, the music's bumping and we're just staying in the venue. And then Grant's like, you know, doing his thing on the dance floor with all the dance kids. And it was a good time. We missed you. You gotta make sure.
So listen, I saw your YouTube channel.
Yeah.
You have over 100,000 followers on there.
Yeah.
How the heck did that happen? Because I saw your first few videos, they were good, but like, is this what you wanted? Like to just blow up and be pretty much a YouTube sensation? I would consider that,
right.
You know, pretty good following. How did that happen?
Oh, it's insane. Yeah, it's kind of one of those things that, when I was young, so I started it really in like my senior year of high school. Wow. I started years ago. It's the bad thing about being a really ambitious woman is that like I got like a lot of things going on, like a lot of cool ideas going on, but there's only so much energy and time in the day and parents to please. So, which was the main motivating factor of it. So like I did that throughout, it was basically being a YouTube vlogger was my job throughout college. You know, I would just record myself or things that my friends and I do and then have just like this commentary. And it was great because when I started, I was like, oh, people are watching this. That's cool. And then when I obtained a manager, he was like, you know, you can make money out of this. I was like, no, you can't. You're lying to me. Like, you're a scammer. And then I worked with him for like 5 years and he got me great gigs. You know, just having what I liked about YouTube is that you can have like a sponsored video, like say I worked with Disney or Intel or like JCPenney,
yeah.
And they just be like, we know you're a creative genius, so we just want you to talk about like back to school sale that we're having. So go on a shopping spree at JCPenney and then just like talk about it, but have your own spin on it. So that was the cool thing is that like,
that's really cool.
You know, yeah, and that kind of medium, so much the companies kind of know that you have your own personality, your own style, and they just want to get their name like kind of plastered like in the video somehow. So that was my job. I didn't have to pick up any, you know, odd jobs in college. That was kind of something I did throughout those years. But I gathered a really big following throughout those years, and there was a crossroads kind of coming out of college and then having into like big girl life. Is that, you know, when I start sending resumes in for someone, I have a degree in neuroscience and I was trying to pursue medical school.
Awesome,
and
by the way.
I'm like, yeah, it's awesome. But the thing is, it's like, that's kind of weird, like, professional comedic YouTube blogger and like, I want to be a doctor. And, you know, in normal society, it's not like the most, not ideal, but it's not normal. So people, there was concern, you know, discussing with certain people that like, maybe, you know, Google is a thing. So if they Google my name, they're like, this girl looks crazy. I don't know if I want her on my team. But so that's why it kind of tapered down kind of throughout the years. And luckily I'm in an office right now where my boss kind of really harnessed that and really, he took a chance on me because he never knew me before, but really liked my ambitious personality and kind of really translated that to where I'm, you know, I'm going to be a good face for the team also. I'm also going to work really hard for the UCLA team. So it's been working. It's always in my head. I'm like, I can just like, do that again.
You know what's interesting? Something about us. We have like this similarity going on. I'm a scientist. I'm a meteorologist. So I've, you know, studied that in college. We're both scientists. But we use that science background to our advantage. Like for me specifically, Ninja Warrior, you know, being able to attack the course from a scientific standpoint, like from
totally.
The physics behind it. You know, I don't know, how many classes did you take in college that required this to get the degree in neuroscience? What kind of like really tough classes? I'm guessing the physics one and two least.
Physics, like, you know, anatomy, and moreover, like neuroanatomy. And that's actually a really good point. How I kind of use my degree and like my science background mainly is, a lot of people don't know, when these are really, you know, high twitch, like fast muscle kind of things.
Yeah.
But what people don't, what a lot of, even still athletes, I think, don't realize is that you don't have to be all gung ho at the same time. Like if you're on an obstacle with, you're on one ring and you're another one, you need to relax the other arm while this one's like going really hard, because you can't just spend all your energy of your whole body tensing up. It's kind of like the brain also being controlled of your own body, that like, I need to relax my core.
So you studied neuroscience where?
So I studied neuroscience at University of California, Riverside, UCR, okay. Which was convenient because that's kind of where I was born and raised, within that area.
I was going to ask. So, yeah, okay, cool. You've been in California your whole life?
Yeah.
Family?
I'm like born and raised SoCal girl. Mm-hmm.
Family?
Yeah, my family's still here and everything. So I love the city. Like, I love the West Coast and Los Angeles. I visited New York a couple of years ago, and it's really different. I mean, people have a lot of drive there, but I don't know if you've been to Venice and Santa Monica. Everyone's like, come here, like, let's get a hug.
Yeah, definitely a different vibe, that's for sure. People in, you know what, my take on it is, people in LA are, they're very business oriented, just like New York, but they're more relaxed about it. Mm-hmm. In a general sense, I think overall though they're much more cutthroat though.
Mm,
I think
yeah.
New York people are just,
they can
like
be cutthroat.
You know, yes, yeah. Oh my gosh,
it's the facade
they
of
can.
Being super friendly, but when it's game time, like, we'll throw it down.
Oh yeah, yeah. New York is same, you know, the same idea. They're business oriented, but they, you know, they're all like, screw you, man. Have a good day. You know, like they're they're typical New Yorkers. You know,
and you're in Connecticut, right?
Yeah, Connecticut my whole life.
It's cold.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. I love Connecticut because you have four seasons.
That's
LA, you know, California, you're stuck with basically two. You have the warm season, the cold season, which it's not really even that. It's a rainy season.
No, we have really hot and then, like, amazing. And that's just kind of fluctuates between those two.
I couldn't even tell. I'd have to live out there for much longer than I think I would want to finally realize that. I would get sick of it. I love the snow. I love the hurricane opportunities.
I don't know what that feels like, so yeah, I want to know. I think
it is dangerous, obviously. Well, you know what? Have you ever been snowboarding or skiing? There's some places to go in Northern California.
Oh, totally.
Right?
We call it, there's actually this interesting thing we call the Triple Crown, or I think it's called Triple Crown, but the Triple Crown is that in the Inland Empire, you wake up in the morning. And so you go to the mountains, and then you go kind of in the fall winter area. So you snowboard in the morning, and then you go rock climbing right after. And then you drive down in the evening, like an hour, 2 hours away, and you go surfing. It's fantastic.
Gosh, that's amazing. Yeah. I would wear a wetsuit, though, if I'm going surfing out there. The Pacific is freezing.
It's freezing.
That's the nice thing about the Northeast and the East Coast here. It's, even though, even in the Northeast, the temperatures aren't as cold as the Pacific. You get that flow from the north, because that's, you know, the ocean currents out there.
Right.
You're getting the currents from the north down, you know, here in Connecticut, or up here in Connecticut, rather. I guess it doesn't really matter. We get it from the south. We get that you know, real warm water sometimes. You just head a little further south into, like, New Jersey and even North Carolina. You get temperatures of, like, 80 degrees almost, depending on the summer. Can you imagine?
There's the meteorologist kind of, like, I'm learning already.
You know what? I'm mixing a little bit meteorology and oceanography at the same time, but they supplement each other.
Yeah, what I like about fearing my ocean is that I'm fearing water. So it's mental, it's mental therapy that I'm like, you know, just for the ninja course, don't get in the water.
Yeah,
so
you don't like water.
I don't like water, actually.
You're like a cat.
So I guess that kind of goes into the whole mental training of don't fall in the water.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so you said before you have been snowboarding or skiing. What do you like? Do you like the skiing or the snowboarding? Or what are you better at? Both of those.
Snowboarder. Okay. Snowboarder, moreover.
You know what? I had a feeling. No?
You had a feeling?
I had a feeling.
Is it like a personality thing with...
I don't know. I just could tell you were a snowboarder. So listen, did you, when you were growing up, let's start with middle school, high school, college, did you play sports? I'm guessing you played sports, or was it climbing kind of all the way through?
You know what? That's the funny thing is that I'm not the kind of typical star athlete that people always assume that I was. I was actually like the skinniest chick thing in one throughout like middle school and high school. I never did any sports because my vigorous Asian parents were like, "No, you're just gonna read a bunch and that should be fine."
Oh.
So, I never did any sports until I got into my freshman year of college, and then I was asking people advice, you know, how is the college life? And the one thing stuck with me, they're like, freshman 15. What's that? And they're like, incoming freshmen gain an average of 15 pounds their first year. I was like, nope, it's not going to happen.
Oh, jeez. Yep.
So I despise the gym. I didn't think running was fun, and I thought it was really painful. So I had to find something that was more fun to do. And so there was this local climbing gym that I think I only went because the first day was free. I don't know where I would be in life if it wasn't free that first time because it's cheap. I went with a handful of my best friends. They all liked it. One of them actually sprained their ankle on the first day. But I was like, this is great. I'm coming back.
So, that's awesome. And what do you climb now? What do you climb now? What ratings? What grades?
So, I mean, right now bouldering, I have a blessing, let's say. But for bouldering, yeah, I'm mainly a boulder because I kind of like depending on myself, and it's a kind of more fast-paced kind of form of climbing.
Okay, and just for the people listening, by the way, bouldering is basically the stuff you would do indoors or outdoors that, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not a pro climber or even a very experienced climber. I've been doing it for a few years now, but just for Ninja Warrior. But bouldering essentially is climbing without the harness, without ropes, and it's usually... Right. You know, no more than 10 or 15 feet up in the air. It's usually reasonably safe considering everything else you could be doing while climbing. But
no, that's exactly right.
Carry
on. It's moreover, focus on really high energy moves. That's why it's great for ninja training. It's more overhanging, so you get pumped out your arms. But so when I'm like kind of at my peak, I project usually V6, or no, I project V8s, like V9s, and then.
What? You know what? I'm projecting eights. I've only hit one, so you're ahead of me. You got me.
It gets tricky once you get at that thing, because when you first start climbing, you know, you get exponentially better and better, and then you kind of hit this plateau, and then it's difficult because then you have to really try hard for those projects because, you know, like stylistically wise, climbs are very different from each other, whether it be very dynamic, very static, small crimps to big moves on like dynos on bigger holds. So it's kind of, that's why I love climbing so much, is that it's literally different for any gym or any climb that you get on. And it's up to you to kind of figure out this magical mystery and how to get to the top.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun.
And that's another reason why I think our mentality, kind of growing up as this scientist mentality helps us, you know, rock climbing especially, but then, you know, trying to decipher, trying to figure out how you're supposed to do this climb, the parallels to Ninja Warrior are tremendous, you know, to be able to go out and to look at the course and say, all right, that looks like it's supposed to be done like this, but maybe that's the trick. Maybe that's what they want you to think, and you're not supposed to do that way. Let's think about this in the physical world and with physics involved. And I think I told you before, being a meteorologist, being able to decipher it in a way that most people wouldn't has helped, and I'm sure you know it's helped you, right?
Oh, totally. Especially I've been climbing for I think like 6 or 7 years now,
and you're already doing eights and nines. My God.
Yeah, it's fine.
Good for you.
I don't know. But no, the interesting I think that's what also helped me mainly in Ninja Warrior also is as a female climber of someone like kind of my short stature, I can't get the advice from majority of the guys because, you know, they climb different, their style is different, they're taller. So that's why it's hard going into Ninja Warrior because, you know, we get to the course, we can't touch anything. We just get a look at it and get freaked out when people fall on things.
Yeah.
So it's trying to play the mental game of thinking, strategizing on what's best for you because you know your body best, you know, and just not psyching yourself out is the biggest thing.
Yeah. Well, how tall are you? You said you're not as tall as the other people.
5'3".
5'3". Okay. It's not too bad though. It's good.
Oh yeah. It's not really bad.
But now tell me this. I heard a rumor that you don't like training. Is that true? now let me rephrase it maybe. Sure. Going just to work out. Just to get, you know, just to go work out. You don't like doing that. You know, if you like to go climbing, you like to work out and have fun like that. But if you had to go and lift some weights or something, you don't like doing that stuff. Is that true?
Oh, I'm the worst person when people ask me, all these people always ask me, like, what's your training regimen? I'm like, ah, or like, especially my diet too, which is, it's not.
Oh, we could talk about that.
we could share some
funny things, I think, right about now.
But, this is the only thing, like, I'm very, you know, analytical and I'm very strict with myself, but then I'm like, all right, I'm gonna go to the gym and then I'm gonna like do good calisthenics and stuff like that. And then I end up climbing for, you know, the whole time and then just social loaf and talk to my friends. And then maybe I'll go upstairs to the gym and then, you know, do some pull-ups and stuff. That's the thing. This is what's good because I think, you know, one of those years I could be, you know, the most dedicated ninja and then like really focused and stuff like that. And, but I kind of mess around and just have fun, which I think is the key to it is you can't really stress yourself out too much because you're going to burn yourself out like any other person in any profession.
Yeah. Unless you're super, super motivated, which is very, you know, those people are very hard to come by, but usually those people have a reason to be really motivated. So how many, you started Ninja Warrior, season 5, 6?
Yeah.
5.
Mm-hmm. No, it was 5.
And then
it
you didn't compete, right? After that? So what, tell us what happened season 5. Run us through, did you get a call or were you a walk on? You got a call, right?
So yeah, that was the interesting thing. Season 5, I was also Jesse's first year. I think Casey's a good run, right?
Casey's first year, my first year, Jesse's first year.
Oh, crazy. Yeah, so that was a year I think the producers really had a big gung-ho, like, revamp of the show or something.
Yeah.
Because I never knew, actually literally never knew of the show at the time, but I've been professionally climbing still, like, competing, winning, you know, state and regional champions, stuff like that. And then I got a phone call, not an email, but a phone call from one of the producers. I was like, who is this? They're like, hey. You know, we're producers for American Ninja Warrior. Like, have you heard of that? I'm like, not really, but let me know more. And then I Googled it, and I was like, guys, I don't do parkour and stuff. And they're like, it's okay. Just come, and you'll have fun.
Oh, gosh.
And that was 2 weeks before Venice. So
yeah, welcome to the show.
And then I tried training somewhat a little bit beforehand. But so I went to Venice, got to meet a few people. I was extremely nervous. I felt really insecure and I did horribly. I fell on the second obstacle. I was actually super psyched. I got past, you know, the steps.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I don't think people know that like 70, at least back in the day when it was like the bad textured one, like 70% of people would fall on the steps. It's really weird.
Just psyching you out though. They shouldn't have been psyching you out like that.
I know. So, but the failure from that really motivated me and I got really hyped up. I was like, whoa, cool. This whole new world that I've never really known about. So that's why I took like a 3-year hiatus, 5, 6, 7, or like a 2-year, 3 hiatus. And I did it. The producers kept calling me back every year, but I'm like, I'm not ready yet. I don't want to embarrass myself, you know?
Yeah.
So I kept training subtly, you know, for that. And then I got an Instagram message from a guy named Neil Craver. And so, as you know, this past year was Team Ninja Warrior season 1. And he messaged me and wanted me on his team. I've never met him before.
That's crazy.
But he watched all my videos. And as you know, Neil Craver is crazy Craver.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes on all fun. And that's why he really took a leap of faith on me is that he really chose me because, you know, I'm a climber, but mainly because I had a really fun personality. And we ended up doing, you know, really well in that. And I had a lot of fun. Bonded with, you know, all these people at the hotel for Team Ninja Warrior. And that really motivated me to, I was like, okay, this is going to be the year I come back for the regular season. And it went great. You know, I was one of the two girls qualifying for city finals. Jesse Graff killed it, too, also.
Yeah. So
fun standing there for city finals with her, and it was great. So, and I got wild carded for Vegas finals. So it was a great kind of year initiating. I feel like it's not over yet.
How far did you get in Vegas this past year?
It was bad. Where did I fall?
Was
I got
it
past
the,
the propeller. So
that, well, you know what, though? That it's okay, because Ian, just put it into perspective, Ian Dory fell on that thing.
I know.
It's not just an obstacle you can overlook. It's a hard obstacle, and Ian overlooked it a little, or underthought it, maybe. I don't know. But
it's the tramp. I don't have experience with tramps. That's what happened.
Yeah, well, that'll do it. You got to find a place where you either get the mini tramp, trampoline combo, really. That's the best way to do it. You find both. A lot of gems. Actually, a lot of gems. I don't know if you're following like the National Ninja League or the UNAA. Yeah. They've been throwing in some tricky obstacles now. You have people hanging from, let's say, an unstable bridge or something, jump down to a trampoline, back up. I've seen some videos of really cool obstacles being built, really starting to throw in the trampolines a lot more.
That was the one that took out most of the ninjas in Venice, I think, last year. It was the hourglass drop, the same exact obstacle.
Yeah, remind me. That stupid obstacle. That the hourglass drop essentially is the obstacle I fell on in Vegas this year, except without the trampoline.
Yeah.
Stupid thing.
There you know.
Did you have a chance to touch that obstacle? Have you had a chance to get on
the
obstacle?
Hourglass?
Yeah.
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
It's evil. You were out for Team Ninja Warrior 2. Season 2.
Who's Gold McGavin.
Same team, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with Graham McCarty, Neil Craver, Team Gold. It's hard to miss that one.
Team Gold, all right.
You know, we have our contract that's thick, but it's going to be a good one. This was a fun year. This was a fun year. And they have the College Madness that's coming out November 22nd, and they have a UCLA team. So I got called back to just come there and really coach the kids on how to do the obstacles.
Oh, that's awesome.
They've never done any of this stuff before. So it's a lot of fun. So people got to look out for that one.
Oh, I can't wait. I didn't get to stay and watch the College Ninja filming, because for the people listening and watching, we filmed Team Ninja Warrior Season 2 just before College Ninja Warrior. So Casey was out there. You were out there. And I think there were a few others that stayed.
Casey's hosting. So it's
Casey, sideline host, right? Or something along those lines. That's cool. So that'll be cool to see her kind of out of her element, but still, we know that Casey, she could do anything she puts her mind to. So
exactly.
I'm sure it'll be great. And now, how did your team do, by the way, season one of Team Ninja Warrior? Did you guys make it to the relay showdown?
So we were close to. The thing is, the tricky with the point system with Team Ninja Warrior, you know, you have the anchor run that's worth 2 points. We were doing good. We were doing great. Technically, we won more rounds than the other team that kind of went to relay, but because of the timing of all, we like, you know, it's like we were doing really good, and then all of a sudden it kept falling, and then that's what gets you out. It's such a bummer. It goes so quick, too. It's because, you know, it's three of us. You run the course, you do your interviews, and then before you know it, you're like, all right, get back up there again. You're like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know if you remember last year, Nick Coolridge and I, we went head-to-head twice, and it was the closest race I think I've ever had.
Yeah.
And he wanted me again. He was like, Joe got me, I'm going again. I was like, oh, great. Because he seemed so, I don't know, he must be younger than me, because he looked so calm and so ready to go. And I'm like, yeah, you go ahead, Nick. I'm going to walk over to the starting line. Like, I was so winded. I couldn't believe it. So, it can be, like you said, just gruesome to have to go from finishing the course to an interview right back to the start, and they're yelling at you, get your ass over here right now. We need you.
Like,
what the heck?
I think that's the thing that a lot of people don't know who are big fans of the show and watch all the seasons, is that there's a big difference between American Ninja Warrior and Team Ninja Warrior.
Yeah.
American Ninja Warrior, people don't know that we actually like sit down and like shake out a little bit in between some obstacles. It's just cut really intensely. But Team Ninja Warrior, that's like all right there. There's not a lot of editing.
Yeah, there is no editing, you know, really at all.
Yeah, you finish, we don't stop. You can't stop. And that's what I actually think Team Ninja Warrior is way more exciting to watch, because you see ninjas pushing more of the limits of what they normally would have not do, and you'd be like, oh, no way! So it's going to be a great season again. I think they got something good.
I want to ask, what are your Ninja Warrior future plans? And then aside from Ninja Warrior, what about just your future? What's in store for Natalie Duran?
Yeah, there's a lot. It's an interesting... That's a perfect question right now, because I'm actually going through, you know, an interesting transition.
All right, I'll make it easy for you. Start with the ninja. What's your plan with ninja?
Okay.
Do you want to do this as long as your body can, or what?
Yeah, I want to dominate Ninja Warrior. Like, this is not, like, this season was fun, but I feel like this is not, you know, this is not going to be my best one. I mean, it's unfortunate because, as you guys will see, I got really injured filming Team Ninja Warrior, which I'm still recovering from.
Damn.
But, like, once I'm good, I just, like you said, you know, I'm a bad trainer, but there's this motivation in me that's, like, growing and growing, and I really just want to punch this out and do really well because I believe I can do it. So I want to, you know, my goal is to, you know, also qualify for city finals and then not get wildcarded into Vegas finals, is actually, you know, qualifying for Vegas finals. That's like my ultimate goal for myself thus far for this upcoming season 9. That's what I want to do.
All right. You know, is it something you want to do until your body gives out or until you win? Or, like, that's what I would like, at least, you know, until I win or my body gives out. I don't see an end, you know, I don't see an end other than those two options.
No, it's weird. I think that's why it's a difficult question I'm trying to answer, because I really haven't thought about it being the end at all yet. It's kind of a, you know, just riding this wave that is like American Ninja Warrior, and I'm having just a great time doing it. So I never even thought that it's ever going to end.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep doing it until I'm like 100 years old.
That would be cool, right? Yeah. Set some records.
Like, you need to like sit in a bed. I'm like, no, I got it.
Just go on with the walker. We'll be fine. So what about, aside from Ninja Warrior, what are your plans? Like, what are you, obviously, is the YouTube thing on hold right now?
So life transition right now, I'm going through a lot of things. So it's the amazing thing with Ninja Warrior is that it's giving me this opportunity to become sort of a public figure again.
Oh, yeah.
And it's awesome having this influence on people, even if it's a reality sector. You know, this is our true lives. We're not just faking ourselves to be part of the television show. At least I hope a lot of people are not.
Some people do. Not on Ninja Warrior so much.
Yeah.
We have some on Ninja Warrior, but, you know, for the most part, yeah, just like you said, we're ourselves.
So I'm having actually this really intense internal conflict. I'm sure you know, like, doing formal education for, like, my whole life, basically. It's balancing, you know, what my parents want. Because I'm first-generation American. You know, my parents worked so hard to come from the Philippines to make a great life with me, and they really have. So that's why their idea of success is the normal, you know, 9-to-5 job, you know, big careers, like doctor and everything. And, you know, I keep telling them, like, I have that ambition, but I also feel like this drive in me that I want to influence people, like, and inspire, and I could, you know, still make a living out of that.
Yeah.
So there is a really hard struggle for me. I'm actually in the middle of making, like, decisions on doing science. I still, you know, in the future, I still want to do healthcare and science, but at the same time, there's this amazing opportunity where I could be, you know, do entertainment, be a public figure, and kind of take reign for that, however it's going to do. So I don't know what's in store for me.
Well, you know what? This is the nice thing. You have a lot of options.
Yeah,
obviously.
I hope so.
Well, you do. You're a very talented woman, so you have plenty of things to fall back on if things go, you know, not your way. So, but either way, this has been...
Follow me on my social media to see where it goes.
I was just about to say, this has been awesome. I want to know your P.O. box, your website, social media handles. Give me all of them. Hit me. Let's go.
Right.
What do you got?
All right. Yeah, you guys can follow me on Instagram. I changed it recently. So it's at @ninja_Natalie. You know, search me on Facebook and stuff like that. I post way too often. Like, I'm not a private person. So I post a lot of fun stuff. Actually, I just tweeted earlier. I brushed my teeth for a Skype interview. I sat here waiting for your call. I was like, "What? Why did I do that?" So it's fun.
I appreciate that. I do. It looks good, too. Your teeth look beautiful.
Thanks.
Hey, Natalie, this has been awesome. Do you have anything else you want to add? Did we miss anything?
Just do what drives you. And literally in any sector, you could do a lot of things when you just have confidence, you know?
Yeah, very true.
Believe in yourself and just keep trekking along. It's been fun talking with you.
All right, Natalie. Thanks for hooking up, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, Joe. Ciao.
See ya.